is.
This is Gordon, W2TTT. We'll start the TechNet here on 146.955 in about 2 minutes. W2TTT. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with or without emergency traffic or parade traffic? W2TTT.
Call. So this is K2EIR with no comments and no questions. Mobile, and when I get home, I'll just be out of the communication for a minute while I get inside.
Okay, well, just bear with me for a few minutes. We're just asking for emergency or priority traffic right now. All right, any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Okay, very good. Okay, any stations on Echolink? Actually, before we start that, let me just do a little introduction here. Kind of got off my pace. All right, this is a conversation. This is not a normal net. All stations who are licensed to operate in the 2-meter band are welcome to participate. In fact, they're encouraged to participate. Participation can be as little as checking in with your call sign, your name, and indicating that you have no questions, comments, or anything for the swap and shop. It's that simple. We would really appreciate you doing that if that's all you have, because we kind of need to know who's out there in order to kind of direct the conversation with competence and so that it's relevant to those who are listening. If we don't know who's listening, we can't do that. So, This net is about amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunications, natural phenomena that support those activities. This is the underlying science. The everyday, normal, mundane things of what we do with amateur radio, that frankly, compared to what the other part, most of the population is doing, is not so mundane, oddly enough. It's rather creative and really interesting. So hopefully, we'll have your effective interest and participation tonight. So, the way we start is we check in by call sign block, and I'll call for that in a minute. I'll actually start with for the Echo Link in a minute. The Echo Link is available via K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L, K2 Foxtrot Juliet-L. And once I get motivated here, I'll be on it as well, which will facilitate text messaging underneath the net if anyone's interested. Welcome to do that as well. So, with no further ado, are there any stations checking in on Echo Link? Please call KTBARW2TTT. Okay, I haven't checked in yet, but we'll see. But maybe we'll find a station there. We didn't check in, but right now there's nobody there. All right, stations whose call signs begin with Whiskey. We're going to start with you tonight. If you start with a Whiskey, please call KTBARW2TTT.
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
WCH to K2BAR, good evening Gordon, Ray, White Plains, none of the above.
I have Don with a comment and Ray with no comment or question. Thank you both. Any other Whiskeys?
W1AU, Bill, none of the above.
Okay, very good, Bill. I got you. Thank you very much. I do see K2JTT Nestor on Echo Link. I guess he's in his radio mode. But Nestor, if you want to check in, do it now, please.
Connected, W2TTT.
All right, not a problem. He might have had to be receive only or something. All right. Very good. Any other Whiskey stations? Alrighty. How about, what do you call it, the Kilos?
Hey, good evening, Gordon. KC2NKU, Maryland and White Plains. No questions, no comments. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Maryland. Any other Kilos? Howie Kazowie. Alrighty. How about Novembers?
Gordon, yeah, I missed the Kilos. K2AMI. With a comment. Back to net.
Gotcha, Tony. Good evening to you. Alright. Any other Kilos?
Gordon, KD2CRB, Sue, in New Milford.
Good evening, Stu. That's, KD2BRD, right?
KD2CRB.
Why can't I just get that in my head? CRB, Charlie Romeo, Bravo. Very good, Sue. Welcome aboard. Will you have questions or comments for tonight?
Yes, Gordon, I have a question. Back to you.
Most excellent. Okay. Make note of that. All right. Very good, Stu. Any other Kilos? Okie dokie. How about Novembers?
And S2K. No traffic at this point.
Good evening, James. Welcome aboard. Got you. S2K. Anybody else with the November call? Stu, I caught it was you, but man, you're off frequency, I think, by 5 kilohertz. You're not on 955, you're on 96 or 9, 50, I don't know which, but you're not on frequency. So, do work on that. I got that you had no questions or comments. Alrighty. Any other Novembers? Alrighty. How about Alpha Stations? Alrighty. Any other stations, any call sign of any type?
WE2R.
Evening, Charles, and what's your preference, sir?
Okay, yeah, I wasn't making it earlier. No questions, no comments.
Got it. That wasn't you who checked in when I thought it was Stu and went to you, was it?
I don't think so. I just wasn't bringing up the repeater when you were doing the W's.
Not a worry. Okay, very good. No problem. All right, anybody else? All righty. Well, welcome, everybody. It's our, I guess, second net of 2013. And pretty exciting. We had a good turnout last week. Hopefully we'll have a good turnout this week. We so far so good. And we'll go from there. So, with that in mind, let's get on with it. W2JEK, your announcement, comment, whatever you'd like, K2BAR.
Hi, K2BAR, and then that's W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Just announcing that the Barra Club is running their next test session on Friday, January the 18th. That's at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School, classroom number 123. I think I'll have some people coming out to that already, so I'm looking forward to it. At any rate, unless somebody has any questions, I'm going to turn it back to Net Control, W2JK.
Okay, anybody have any questions? Well, thank you, Don. Very good. And just to reiterate, for those who did not have heard at the meeting, the test session that the Barra test team ran on December 28th for Schedule 29 Adventure Crew 7373 had a few walk-ins, including a really interesting person, a person who was a disaster services worker from Kentucky, who volunteers at the Red Cross, and that was really thoughtful of them to take her off evening and take a bus from New York City to the wilds of New Jersey, and she got there and did fine. Got her ticket, and I think there were some upgrades, and some other people got their tickets, and two of my scouts got their tickets. That's kind of a cool thing too. So very, very pleased about all that. So thank you very much again, Don and team. Alrighty, our next person is K2AMI with another comment. K2BAR, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to let the ID go through, but just a couple of comments, and I'm sure you're going to mention them further or again in the process of the net, but we at the meeting discussed the possibility of switching the Barra auction date, but that has become unnecessary. We are going to have our Barra auction on the first Sunday in March, which will be March the 3rd. And the auction, as you might recall, starts at noontime on a Sunday afternoon on the 3rd of March. And that replaces the Barra meeting. We no longer have a Barra meeting that day. So mark that down on your calendar. And please, if you do check the Barra website, we have this information on the Barra website. Even Don's VE sessions are up there for quick reference if you can't remember what he said or want to know about future VE sessions. And the second thing is that coming up in just 2 weeks is the VHF contest. And Don's VE session is on the 18th, but on the 19th and 20th, that's the Saturday and Sunday, right after the VE session on the 18th, is the VHF contest. We will not be going up on the hill or doing any outside activity, but many of the Barra stations hopefully will be on the air. We don't usually score tremendously in this contest. but it's important that as many, get as many Barra stations on the air, even if they only make a dozen or less contacts. It, the club activity notation we placed first in last contest that we were in. So club activity, you enter a log, even if it's only 10 contacts, it represents a Barra club activity for the VHF contest. So please try to participate. Let me drop it for a second. Tonight, I have a mere, maybe a 20-foot elevation on my 6-meter beam, and I was in conversation with Bennett up on Ridgewood, and with WA2VUN out in Bloomingdale, and a station from up in Newington, Connecticut, who was on the air on 6 meters around supper time tonight. And they informed me that around 50.140 in the late afternoons is often the number of guys that gather. So if you want to test your equipment at that time, you might look at 50.140. I have a 2-meter amplifier that I'm anxious to establish a signal contact with somebody. And anybody who has a VHF capabilities on 2-meter upper sideband, I would be anxious to be in contact with. So back to net.
Yeah, Tony, I'm not set up, but if you don't get a contact by tomorrow, give me a holler on the phone, and I'll be happy to give you a contact, certainly by sometime on Saturday, if not tomorrow night. Not a problem. Just it's a matter of just grabbing the Go Kit, setting it up, and attaching power and antenna to it. I'd be happy to do that. But meantime, anybody else have the ability to get on 2-meter sideband here if I want to have a contact with Tony? Okie dokie. All right. Well, Tony might also stay on, so certainly by tomorrow I can get active. Tonight's a little probably unkey there. Tonight's a little tricky because he's got something else on my desk right now that he's occupying his space. Work project. But all good. We'll be happy to help you in any way we can. Anybody else?
For a quick moment, tomorrow is the Fairlawn meeting, and I probably will not work well on Friday night, but we'll catch you later in the week.
Okay. Well, worst case is after the Fairlawn meeting, I probably will be able to do it, if need be, or maybe even the late afternoon if I'm home. Give me a call after 4 and let's see where we are at the progress of the day. 4:35, somewhere in there. And we'll see. At some point I have to pick up James, but I don't know where. Or I don't know if I'm picking him up by train or by bus or whatever. We'll figure it out. He's coming back from Washington. Alrighty. Anybody else?
K2EIR.
Howie. What is your preference for tonight, sir?
I can set up my EFT 857D with a vertical antenna indoors here in Tarrytown and work him while the net's going on or right after.
Tony, it's your call.
Hey, Howie, can you go to 144-130 and alert and say meet you there in 5 or 10 minutes? What's your call? 144-130, upper side then.
Okay, tune around a little bit because there may be a frequency error in the rig. Yeah, give me 10 minutes, 15. Actually, let me look at my watch. Let's synchronize real quick. I have 9:18. How about 9:25?
Very good, Howie. Again, your call one more time.
Okay, remember Ohm's Law, K2EIR, or expert in radio.
Hey, thank you very much. I remember Ohm's Law with an OHM, but that's not you. All right, thank you, Howie, thanks. And I will look for you in at approximately 9:25 or slightly later.
K2EIR.
All righty. Well, that's pretty exciting. Glad you're getting that squared away. And it gives me some motivation to get mine squared away, too. I've got a decent 2-meter beam. We're going to tunnel up a 2-meter beam on top of a 511 6-meter beam directive systems. And I've got a bunch of other 2-meter beams I really need to get squared away. Put them up in a 4-bed with the gas and take names. That would be awesome. I'll have to see about that in due time. I even have the crossbar for it. We'll see. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments about, let's say 2-meter sideband, 6-meter sideband, any of the other VHF or UHF bands, microwave bands on sideband? Anybody have any experience with that they want to talk about? Alrighty. Well, I'll say a few words here. Obviously, a week from Saturday, it gets very exciting. There's a bit of a run-up of activity, nightly activity, in the week or so before the contest. The unfortunate part about this particular weekend, it's quite an effort to work. Because, it's not like you can work here one contact after another, but, if you want to work for a few hours and come back, it's fine. A lot of people try to mine contacts. They troll the bands looking for, simplex contacts, and that's pretty cool, too. That's win. Other techniques for winning include, or having a high score, making sure you find your FM guys, using digital techniques, with SCEDs and things like that, but, there's different ways of doing it. So a lot of the more narrow band modes, PSK31 and WSJT and things like that, I'm unkeying every so often, guys. I'm sensing it in the microphone, so sorry about that. But anyway, those kinds of things do make a difference, both in the number of contacts and also the number of multipliers you can work. And sometimes those digital techniques far outstrip sideband. Really is kind of amazing. Or CW, for that matter. Alrighty, anybody else have comments on the subject before we move on? Alrighty. Well, after the net, I'm going to be messing with the boards that I got from Carl. I got two of them here, and want to see if I can pump some audio through and see if I can actually receive properly on my computer some of the digital stuff that he was working on last night at the Racy's Net. Alrighty. Anybody else with the topic before we take our questions? Anybody want to check in or post something for the swap and shop?
Hey.
There was Howie first, and then there was another station. I think it was the Echo Link. Go ahead, Howie. Okay, who keyed up? It wasn't Howie, obviously.
KC2, UNH, Paul, Harrington Park.
Hey, Paul, very good. Are you adding any questions or comments to the queue?
No comments, no questions, but I will hang around for the FLCG.
Okay, good. Very good. I don't know if I can transmit. Well, I can transmit acoustically, I guess. I don't know if I want to be able to transmit hardwired, but we'll see. All right. I guess our first question comes from KDTMR CRB. KDTCRB, Stu, it's over to you. K2BAR.
K2BAR, KD2CRB. Yeah, Gordon, I'm looking at this ICOM R2300RH 2-meter FM transceiver, which is basically a mobile rig, and we're thinking of using it as like a fixed station. Do I have to get, or how do I go about getting like a power supply that would allow me to plug into AC? How do you go about that? Back to net?
There are a lot of different power supplies out there, but I must confess that the bang for the buck is the simple MFJ switching brick. It's a 25 amp. They call it the Mighty Mite. It's a switching power supply. It's about 5 inches square and about 2.5 or 3 inches high. And it's got two Anderson power pole connectors on the front, plus some binding posts. And it costs you about $100. And, you know, it's no fuss, no muss. If you want metering, they do make a version that's got metering. There's another company called R&L Electronics that sells, a very nice power supply, a little bit more with the meters in it. That it's got a meter, actually, a single meter. They also make a higher current version. I don't like to put all my eggs in one basket, I generally stick to 25 amp supplies. You know, I do have, actually, I shouldn't quite say that. I do have here an old iron type of power supply that's got some really intense regulation. It's an HP power supply. And that bad boy will provide the best part of 100 amps. You know, that occupies quite a bit of space, and it's heavy, and right now it's idling along, pulling, you know, supplying about maybe 6 or 8 amps to things on one part of the shack. But I use these little Mighty Mites all over the shack, and they work pretty well. Also, if you want to put them in your go kit, you know, you just roll it up and go. The 2300 is part of a long line, let me drop it, a long line of 2-meter monobanders that ICOM has produced. They had the 2000, the 2100, the 2200, and now the 2300. I have a 2100, and I think, in fact, a 2200 as well. And I can tell you they're both fine radios. They really are. They're quite robust. They don't try to do everything for everybody, but as a consequence of that, you'll have a very solid performer in the 50 watt or greater category, and you'll have a very sensitive receiver for your trouble. So I don't think you'll be disappointed with the 2300. I just based on what I read about it and the lab results, etc.
Yeah, I was reading the QST write up on it, and I it seemed to have caught my eye. All right, well then, great. Thank you very much for that info, and I will look into it. Back to Ned.
I'm just wondering, does anybody else have a 2-meter monoband radio, or maybe a 2-meter 440 dual-band radio, that they're particularly fond of that you'd like to float as a possibility? So everybody has the radio they have. And they either love it so much they don't want to create, they want to corner the market on it, they don't tell anybody about it, or they don't have any mobile rig and they're operating off an HT, or they all have ICOM 2300s and are, you know, not going to tell Stu about it. I mean, so someone has a radio here, come on.
K2BAR, this is W2LCN.
Ah, W2LCN. Mr. Rick, how are you? Go right ahead. Will you be adding questions or comments, or are you jumping on this topic and then going from there?
Probably both. Jumping on the topic. I do have a question. If we get time, I'll throw it out there. But I have the Kenwood TMV71A. It's a dual-band radio. I don't see a lot of information about it, but I really like it. I've never had a problem with the receiver. It connects to the computer. I don't think it has a PPT function. I've still got to work that out. But the programming is free from Kenwood. I think it's great. I changed the color to green, so my LEDs and my power supply match. I've got everything with a green display. And I got to say, I haven't seen a lot on the radio, but I love it. It's small, it's quiet, the fan doesn't run very much, and I actually picked it up from QTH used. It was actually taken out of the box, tested, they liked it, and then they were moving, put everything back. And I got all the extra wires, the extension kit, for just under $400. That was about, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago. Back to net. This is W2LCM.
I will say, is this the radio you're using now?
This is the radio I'm using now.
Okay, so you got the radio and the power supply for about $400. You were very happy with it. And that's a 2 meter 440 radio, right?
Yes, it is. I didn't get the power supply with it. That was another, I think, $90 over at Gene's place. But the radio was just under $400 shipped to me with everything, with the extra wires and a little handy guide, one of those little ones you buy for like $20, a little laminated card. But I love it. I still don't know how to hook up the data to the computer. The wires are there, but I haven't been able to connect like FL Digi and things like that. It'll be wired right through the radio, but everything seems to work fantastic. I don't know how to use all the features on it, but I do like it.
That's a very capable radio. Again, why don't you repeat the model number?
It's the Kenwood TMV71A. TMV71A. I think they sell for like $389, but I don't see a lot come on the used market. They're a nice radio. I can't complain about them at all. I like where the knobs are. I like the way the buttons feel. Everything is just very steady. There's no surprises with it.
Well, very good. Very, very good. Very good to know. So TMV71A, 2 meter 440 dual bander with data capabilities. I believe it also does APRS, does it not? Or some form of packet?
That is the model above this. It's the same transceiver, but the front head on the radio is something like the D710, and that has the TNC built into it for APRS and sending out packets. But that goes for another $300 more. I think it's $700 for the whole radio, or you can buy just the head and replace that for about $400.
Wowie kazowie. Okay. I didn't know. So the D700 is the same RF deck. That's interesting to know. I thought so. They looked amazingly identical. What I like about Kenwood radios is their audio sounds very good. I mean, don't get me wrong, the ICOM audio is very good as well, but it's more processed. This thing is sweet in its smoothness of its audio. Very good. Anybody have any comments for Rick about his choice of radios? Alrighty, how about anybody else with comments about their radio? Or radio they've been looking at? Okay, well, what is the MSRP for the 2300 these days, Stu?
I'm seeing it around about $260, back to you, Gordon.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Okay. That would be definitely something worthwhile. Slightly nicer radio than most. Definitely based on my 2200, worth the trouble. I really like my 2200. I use that as a shack radio with a vertical omni way up high. It works very, very well. I'm partial to it. Alrighty. Anybody else have thoughts on 2 meter or 2 meter 440 or whatever, you know, VHF, UHF, FM, mobile rig / mobile rig sitting at home? Alrighty. Well, there's your answer, Stu. I don't think you'll make a bad choice of that radio.
Okay, yes. Thank you very much for the information, and back to you, Rick.
Here's something funny. How I came to buy my 2200 was one day I was at KJI's, and it was after some event, and lady walks in with a brand new box, and she's got her 2200 under her arm, and says, she said, remember my husband called and said that he would like to get a different radio. He won this at the blah, 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 flea market, and so, you know, he wants this other radio, so I'm going to give you the difference money, and we're going to get this other radio instead, blah, blah, blah. So I'm sitting on the counter, and I said to Gene, how much? And he goes, whatever. I go, good. Reached in my pocket, pulled out my card, walked out with the radio, and I've not regretted that decision since, so very, very, very cool. Alrighty, anybody else with questions or comments about the radio choices or VHF, UHF, FM kind of thing? Well, let me just make sure that I didn't key up too quickly. Anybody else? Okay, so let me also give some guidance on the current state of Chinese mobile radios. We all know about the handy talkies of various types, but the mobile radios are kind of a different kettle of fish. So there's a 920 from TYT out there that, or is it Wushan? I can't remember. Is it Wushan? Not a great radio, I gotta tell you. It's very disappointing. So there are other alternatives out there, and one of them is the dual bander that's from Anytone, and Advanced Specialties and KJI and others will have it shortly. They're selling it as a package for like $280 or something like that, and with the programming cable and the separation kit for the front panel, and it was written up in QST recently, got a very, very good review. That was the pre-production RF deck. The better production decks are out already, and they've already been tested to be even superior. They really all work very, very well, and that's going to be a nice value for a dual-band radio, to say the least. It does cross-band repeat. It does full dual receive, unlike the handy talkies, you know, things like that, so it's really kind of nice. The other that's interesting are the TYT monoband radios, 2 meter, 220, and 440. I have those, and they all sell for the same price. They all sell for like $1.80 or $1.70, and are well worth it. They really are just solid performers. They're not as flexible to use as, you know, like a typical ham radio, but not bad. And, you know, you can learn how to program them for the front panel without too much pain and suffering. So I can give you that. I will tell you that it works out pretty well. Anybody have comments? Alrighty. Well, let's move it on then. Stu, back to you for anything you want to add to it before we go on, or maybe we'll have a comment that'll keep us on the topic for a little longer.
Yes, Gordon. Do any of these radios come with D-Star by any chance? Back to you.
No, they do not. Getting into D-Star is a pricey little exercise. I know I've got a HD. I used to have two HDs, but the 91 was confusing compared to the 80. If I wanted to, I was trying to learn this stuff. I didn't need to learn two different methodologies to do the same thing. So I have an IC-80 handy talking and the like. It works pretty well. And now there's some new ones out there. There's a 51, which I think is a UHF only, and there's a new radio coming. No, 31, which is a 31, which is a UHF one only, and then there's a 51 that I see or something like that that's dual band. So and has an integrated GPS built into it. So that's not going to be cheap, but I'll tell you, it'll be. It's basically like the VX8. Except D-Star only.
W2CH comment.
Go ahead, Ray.
Yes, Gordon. Well, I have the ID31, which is UHF only, that came out last year, and it'll do the analog too on UHF. So I think the 51, I don't know what that'll cost when it comes out. We'll probably do both, plus those other features.
Yeah, pretty exciting, I thought, to have the ability to have, the built-in GPS. I think that's sweet. I mean, I run a GPS microphone on my my 80, and that's fine, too. It gets your GPS up in the air, but it doesn't necessarily, it's another wire to hang off your body.
Right, yeah, I have the VX8GR, and that has the GPS built in.
Right, IC-80AD, if you want the GPS for location, you have to do it, you get the speaker mic that has the GPS built into that. That's what I was referring to as a wire.
Yes, understood. Well, if you have the 2820, that module with the D-Star gives you the GPS, I believe. But, of course, that rig complete is over 900.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little rich for my blood. Yeah. I'm still doing tuition, you know? dear me. But we're rolling down toward the end of that. Another year, basically a year of March, I'll probably pretty much be done with the kinds of tuition I'm paying now. It'll be college tuition, but that's a different problem. That's a much easier problem. But anyway, very good. Anybody else with questions about D-Star? We could probably do a whole night on D-Star one day. Not a problem. All right, very good. Well thank you, Ray, for bringing that up. Anybody else?
K2EIR.
Go ahead, Howie.
Just want to let you know, Gordon, that Tony and I are back. I think he's back, or he was going to come back. And we succeeded at working each other on both 2-meter and 432 megahertz sideband. Mine with an indoor antenna, quarter wave mag mount on a baking tray, and he said he's no more than 60 feet above, I think, sea level. And we were both running on 432, 20 watts, 25 watts. On 2 meters, he had an amp and was S9. On 432, he wasn't budging the S meter, but he was Q5. And just thought that was interesting and reported to you in the net, K2EIR.
Well, that's great. So from Tarrytown to River Edge, the south end of River Edge, I'll point out, where there's a little bit of a rise, shielding him from much of the Palisades. And on top of that, the Palisades, and then the rolling hills up the Hudson. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah, I figure we had knife edge refraction because I figure the Palisades would really interfere. I have a little height, but I'm still indoors and only about 20 feet over ground, so I found it interesting. I also found it interesting that he was still S5 on 2 meters with 25 watts, but when he went on 432 here, he was only S0, so I obviously have less sensitivity to the receiver.
Maybe, yeah. Okay, very good. Anybody else want to make a comment about 2-meter sideband or 432 sideband, et cetera, et cetera?
W2C.
Go right ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I went on 2 with the Kenwood I'm on here, which runs 100 watts on 2 and 50 on 432. I could hear Howie a little bit on the 432. I don't know if you heard me. But I'm only on a kind of vertical antenna at the moment for those bands. But 2 meters, he was good here, and he heard me okay. I could hear Tony a bit, but he didn't hear me. But again, you know, I'm at a condo with a terrace, so, and a little further inland. But just thought I'd throw that in, and we'll be in the contest with a bit more power now the weekend after next.
And I can give a civil report.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Ray, I did copy you on 432, I think, and it was like barely audible, barely audible, but I could make out your call distinctly. And on 2 meters I could hear you. I don't remember the S meter reading, but you might have been S1 or 2. So that's how it was here. And my antenna is a vertical whip. I forgot to ask Tony what he was using as far as polarization.
I'll take that as a no. Okay. Very good. Any more from you, Ray?
No, very good. Thanks for the report, Howie, that you did hear me. I'm sure when I use my dual band beam during the contest, it'll be better. And I can do FM on 222. I could actually hear sideband with this rig. It has two receivers. So I can be listening to, you know, like the repeater now. I'm on the sub-receiver and the main receiver, the other band. So anyway, that's versatile. But I didn't know, as you said, you were asking Howie, maybe Tony's still there to tell you, or through Gordon, what his antennas were.
K2AMI with information.
Tony, go ahead.
In both of my beams, I'm using horizontally polarized multi-element beams. On 2 meters, I've probably got about 12 elements horizontally polarized, and on 432, it is probably about 12 elements also. But the interesting fact is that the antennas are on a very short off-the-ground installation right now because of Sandy back in October. But they seem to be working adequately well to get a signal over the hill. Maybe being close to the ground, I'm getting a little enhancement of some type. Excuse me. Let me drop it for a second. I was able to copy W2CH on 2 meters, but barely audible. But Ray was good and solid. He needs some microphone work, but otherwise he's okay. And I'm glad that my amplifier is functioning. I'm using an older amplifier now that puts out 400 or 500 watts, and that it's the first time I'm using it in the contest, just to see that perhaps it'll work okay. Back to net, I don't want to bore everybody.
Yeah, using one of those old FAA amplifiers?
Well, this is a home-built amplifier, but not built by me. And it uses 281-22s.
Oh, really? 281-22s. So, yeah, well, they have, what, each one has a dissipation of about, what, about 250-300 watts a piece? So each one has a dissipation about, each tube has 250-300 watts of dissipation at least. I don't know what happened to Tony. Okay. Well, very good. Well, so we're making progress. Going to get me to get on the air again, too. This is good. Anybody else?
K2EIR.
Howie.
Yeah, it seems apropos to mention, I just remembered my brother has had up for sale for some time. He hasn't very actively promoted it, but he has a 1980s vintage kilowatt amp for 2 meters. His call's WA2 Zulu Peter X-Ray, WA2ZPX. So if somebody wants to, he's in Middletown, New York. And you're welcome to contact him if you really need an amp and want to get it in the next few days. I presume it's possible. W2TTT from K2EIR.
You know what the finals are?
I don't remember any details any longer. Sorry, once did. I think age is showing again.
One time I had a pair of 4CX350s that actually were 4CN15s with a custom cooling cowl that was machined at Bell Labs, and I got it from back when I was a teenager, so nothing work-related for me at the time. But I got it from Bob Serrato, W2NCF. There were three of these amplifiers in the universe. One was owned by Bob, W2NCF. Another one, I forget who was owned by, but someone did tell me eventually. I keep forgetting. And the other amplifier was owned by Carl Scheidler, W2AZL. And W2AZL has the distinction of probably making the most popular receiver converter known to man for 2 meters or even 432 for that matter. He used a tube called a Nuvistor, and at 2 meters he could easily get a noise figure of less than a dB out of his receive converter, and it was a 417 Nuvistor tube, a Western Electric part. Can't wonder where he got that from. Anyway, but he also built the, out of a couple of surplus radar tubes, 15-watt dissipation radar bullet tubes. They look like 4CX 300s, which have the twist lock instead of the pins on the bottom. But they didn't have the cooling fins, so they built custom ones, and they could each dissipate 500 watts. So I kept building bigger and bigger power supplies for the plates, and until I finally was getting about 1,200 watts key down out of the a pair of those things all day. It's pretty impressive.
I would say so. I remember the W2AZL, that very, very familiar call. And I built a Nuvista preamp, so I don't know if that was the one or not, back in the middle 60s. K2EIR.
K2AMI with information.
Go ahead, Tony, and very interesting, Howie.
Sorry, I dropped out unintentionally. My radio died, and I'm back on a different radio now. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut off quickly, but had a failure here.
Not a problem. I'm trying to solder while you guys are talking. You guys are making entirely too short a transmission. I expect longer transmissions. Anyway, I'm just teasing. Anyway, very good. Howie, tell us about your AZL preamp.
No, I don't know if it was, again, the call's very familiar. I don't know if my Nuvista preamp was actually his or not. And I can't remember all that much. My setup was, I had one of the Amico converters, and then I built the Nuvista preamp, and it was in a separate little mini box, and it helped a lot. I worked 11 states on 2-meter AM with a home-built transmitter. That I remember was design of Doug DeMaw, W1CER. Used 6360s in the final, and it appeared in the 1965 ARRL handbook, which I still have. So that's what helped make my station. I originally drove an SX110 receiver with it. The converter went to the SX110 and later on a Drake 2B. That's about all I can tell you. I want to mention that in my working, Tony just before, you know, he just told you the multi-element horizontal beams, I was using a vertical antenna, and that should introduce a 20 dB loss from cross-polarization. So just imagine if I had been horizontal.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a huge difference, as we all know. So when I moved to New Jersey, I was in my senior year of high school, and just before my birthday, like a week or two before my birthday, and I put my TR-108 on the air with a 2-meter dipole in my third floor ham shack, which was adjacent to my bedroom, and really weak signal, and I worked W2HTD, Hotel Tango Delta, and WA2ZNT, and WB2LAH, and I could hear but not work WA2OPY, and some of you might know Josephine, who hangs out on this repeater Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 9 o'clock in the morning, with the CBS Retirees Net. She's not a CBS retiree, but she, like a lot of us, are out there in the morning and the like. So, you know, it's kind of amazing how that works. A lot of good stuff to behold. And HTA came over with some pre-made 2-meter antenna elements, including a dipole that was, you know, a piece of heavy aluminum dowels that were jammed into, in fact, the elements were dowels. And he had like a 6-element 2-meter Yagi. All you had to do was put a bolt through each element, and the driven element already had, as I said, a fiberglass, a plexiglass insulator and two dowels, and we just coiled up some coax and, you know, made a ballon, and I stuck it on a broom handle, and I think I screwed the broom handle into a wooden, like, clothes pole, like a hanger pole, in the window box outside my third floor window. It stuck up just about above the house by about 3 or 4 feet. And I spun it with my hands. I had to keep the window open. It was February. But it was my 18th birthday present. It was from W2HTD. A bunch of 2-meter antenna elements. And I convinced my mother that she needed a new broom. Her second broom required immediate replacement. At least that's what I told her. So that was pretty cool. So, anybody else?
W2CA.
Ed Ray.
Yeah, I still remember my equipment 50 years ago. I started 63, 2-meter AM with a tour from another ham. Then a Gonsa Communicator 3 with my SX110, and had, I think, a Techcraft converter, something to get the 2-meter band through 10 meters, you know, the band spread for the 4 megahertz, and, of course, you know Howie from back then, his brother, too, and other equipment, Amico, and I built an Amico 6-meter converter or something with the 6CW4, I think was, there were tubes and the new Vista on it. It was kind of a bronze color, and also had an amplifier from K2YRZ, homebrew 4CX250Bs, 125 watts. Was that plate modulated AM, maybe 85 watts out with a dial key relay. And I had a Telrex 8-element beam for 2 meters and a homebrew for 6 when I used a Polycom for 6 meters. So those were some of the experiences back in the 60s, back to net.
I didn't even talk about, other than my Nightkit TR-108, I didn't describe my gear, so, okay. So I had a TR-106. Those are the two radios I had when I was in my New York apartment, and then I moved to New Jersey in the first 6 months or so of my being a ham. And I lived in Jersey before, and I spent summers in the house where we ultimately moved, in Little Falls. But in any case, I acquired a TDQ transmitter, which is a 100 watts in, about 50 or 60 watts of AM out. It also had MCW for tone CW on an AM carrier, and my receiver was a ARC-5 receiver, a 6 to 9 megahertz ARC-5 receiver that had a BFO mod in it. Someone else had done that, and I used a Techcraft converter. So if you can imagine this, my IF was 40 meters, and I learned very, very quickly how important it was to use really, really good coax and not just some junk, and keep it really, really, really short, and make sure both ends of the shield were really, really well connected to keep junk out of the out of the Techcraft converter, or out of the receiver from the